that pursuit of sense gratification, but then understanding the failings of sense gratification and of pursuing only sense gratification, one comes to the stage of gyan, or a realization of the frailties of material existence, spiritual identification. But then in developing the spiritual identification, one has to understand ultimately that one is a servant of Krishna. And in that way, then one becomes happy. If we want to be happy, then we have to go beyond just the desire for liberation. You know, we come to the temple and we pray to Krishna, please let my material pursuits be successful. But this is what many people, when they go to church or they come to the temple, they put $20 in the hundi, then they pray, Krishna, please let my material pursuits be successful. What? Here's my $2, please give me $2 million. I'm your faithful servant. No, actually, I want you to serve me. That's why we go to church or go to the temple. But a higher realization is that, yes, I know material pursuits are not the be-all and end-all, so then let me please understand my spiritual identity and be free from all of this trouble in the material world. Right? This is a higher stage of... But it's still somewhat selfish. Not somewhat selfish, very selfish, right? It's just, Krishna, please free me from all the trouble of material existence. Huh? This is how people... This is how we pray. A higher level of realization is to come before Krishna and say, Krishna, please let me at least know you. Right, this is kind of like the super soul realization. But the highest platform, or a higher platform than that, highest platform, is to come to Krishna and say, Krishna, you know, usually come to Krishna and we say, Krishna, please. That's the quality and nature of that's the prayer of a pure devotee, actually. That's the height of... And even higher than that is the sense of Krishna's mind, right? This is the elevated nature of the residents of Vrindavan, in that they offer everything to Krishna, and because they've offered everything to Krishna, then Krishna offers himself to them extraordinarily. So anyway, Narada Muni is inquiring. He's not inquiring about how activities, because you're looking unhappy, which means that you failed on your dharma, happy. Opportunity to associate with the devotees and to hear, to chant Hare Krishna, right? They chant Hare Krishna, they hear the philosophy, chant Hare Krishna, dance, I suppose, right? Chant, this is our process, chanting, dancing, feasting. And feasting, yeah. But we add philosophy. Right, so chanting, dancing, philosophy, then feasting. Right? And then people say, oh, I feel so happy when I'm in the association of the devotees and I do these things. Then I feel this is the right thing to do and I don't want to do anything else. Of course, when they're asked to chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulated principles and, you know, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's like, whoa, hang on a second, this is a bit too much, right? And this is where it's interesting, because that's where we want to, you know, if we're to bring people to the point, or if we're to bring ourselves to the point of real, true happiness, then it's only doing anything else and we'll never be happy, because it's covering our original identity. And they, you know, unless we're actually, if you like, true to ourselves and really connected with who we are, that is, as a servant of Krishna, then we'll never really be truly happy or truly satisfied. We won't, there will always be a sense of dislocation, right? There will always be a sense of dislocation if we don't know who we really are. And of course, knowing the process of self-realization is designed in such a way so that if we follow the process of bhakti, then gradually we'll realize our true identity. And of course, that means we're a servant of God, we're a servant of Krishna. And so when we associate with people and we reawaken them to their original identity, then they feel that connection, that this, like, hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, they become automatically happy. Unless they're demons, of course. But when a demon hears the chanting of Hare Krishna, what happens to them? What happens? They become angry. They become purified. And so when they hear the chanting of Hare Krishna, they become more enthused and happy. Whereas, you know, like 30 years ago, we'd go and chant Hare Krishna and people would get really angry. Right? People would come charging at you from 50 metres and then punch the kirtan leader. My first kirtan that I went out on in Adelaide, we got attacked by a bunch of hoods. And Kripakara got punched and Jami Jaya got punched and rolled into the gutter. And I was standing behind Jami Jaya and I thought, Oh, what's going on? And then they just jump into the kirtan and dance and chant with the devotees. Like, whoa, okay. So because of purification, people have become, you know, natural, you know, the association of the devotees and the hearing of the Maha Mantra. And even when people, by nature, we are happy. It's only because of the material energy covering us up. Like, Jamuna tells the story about how she was cooking with Srila Prabhupada. You know the story about she came from Portland, Oregon, 38 degrees, and very humid. So it's hot and sticky and very uncomfortable. And so Prabhupada had spoken to the couple and to her, and he was making arrangements for the wedding. Right? And Prabhupada asked them, you know, is any of the family coming? And Jamuna said, well, I'm the only one that's coming for the wedding. And Prabhupada said, this is very unusual. He said, usually the family of the bride does all of the arrangements. Right? Got her to make, actually Prabhupada asked her, do you know how to make a medium hard dough? And she said, she didn't know. And Prabhupada kind of chastised her and said, well, any girl in India over the age of 5 knows how to make this dough, right? So then he made the dough. I taught her how to make potato kachori. The best potato kachoris that I've had are at Govardhan. There's a sweet shop on Govardhan Hill. I can't remember what the name of it is. I know where it is. I have a mental image of the place. Best lassi, best jalebis, and the best kachoris. And she was there for about 6 hours making kachoris. Hot, you know, flustered because things weren't working. Because when Srila Prabhupada cooked 11 preparations, for 11 preparations, each for 100 people, right? And Jamuna said that Prabhupada just looked totally unflustered, wasn't even perspiring. How could he do that? Right? How could he be so calm and so productive? in such an environment. The devotees at that time sort of saw Prabhupada as something like a Superman. And because Prabhupada is completely connected to Krishna on the spiritual platform, so unfazed by any material difficulty, right? When a devotee is situated on a spiritual platform, when we're connected to Krishna in devotional service, so even though there may be so many difficulties and so many problems, a devotee remains transcendental. That's the meaning of transcendental, right? Above the material platform, on the spiritual platform. So when people come in contact with the devotees and they get that sense of transcendence, even though it's only little taste, right? Still they're inspired. They think, oh, I want to be a devotee. Of course, they don't understand the ramifications of that inspiration. I remember when I was a young devotee, and I became enthused by preaching to people who are interested, and then usually when I got to the point of no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and they kind of lost interest after that. Right? So when a person is inspired to be a devotee, or inspired by the association of the devotees, the chanting of Hare Krishna, by the philosophy, by the prasadam, even though they're inspired, that doesn't mean that they're ready, to be a sadhika. There's a big difference. Committing to the process, he's not performing his dharma, and so therefore let's help him. But for a devotee, a devotee may be despondent and may be unhappy, but not because he can't perform his dharma, right? Actually, we see that with Lord Chaitanya. That wasn't because he couldn't perform his dharma. That's because he was thinking about helping all of the conditioned souls make advancement, make progress in their spiritual life. And he was thinking, how can I make arrangements so these people who have no inclination or even some inclination for spiritual life, how can I help them make spiritual progress? So a devotee may be unhappy, but it's usually because he's thinking, how can I improve my service? How can I improve the lot of others? It's not on the same basis as the materialist who's usually despondent because he's not getting his sense gratification. Huh? There's a bit of a difference. So Narada Muni is inquiring from the king, how come you're despondent? Have you been obstructed in the performance of your dharma? Does anybody have any comments or questions? Any of these points?
Karma and dharma. Karma is nothing but doing your work.
Yes.
Banker's job is to do his work. So from what point of view, what's the difference between karma and dharma from a meditative point of view?
Not much. Not much. Dharma, if you're performing your karma, basically what you do, right? And you do karma according to religious principles, in other words, things that you should do. There's vikarma, which is most of what everybody does these days, and that is actions performed without consideration of the prescribed rules and regulations given in the scripture, right? And so they do anything. No rules, right? Modern society is basically no rules. Do what you like. And then there's akarma, which means activities that are free from material reactions. We perform karma to get sense gratification without sinful reactions. That's ideal. And then there's vikarma, which is you pursue sense gratification but do what you like. Right? Whereas the activities of the transcendentalists is akarma, because it's work that's meant to please Krishna without consideration of whether there's a material benefit or not. No? So dharma is the description of those activities which will bring about material prosperity or sense gratification within the guidelines of positive activities that are free from sin. Of course, the problem is that, as I mentioned before, material activities, even if there's good karma or they're dharmic, we still can't avoid birth, death, old age and disease. So even good karma has with it the residual of material reactions. Huh? Does that make sense? Anybody else like to comment on that question? Why was the king unhappy? That's described in the next verse. So, not wanting to spoil tomorrow's verse, I won't mention. That's what this is all about. This next section. Or do you want me to spoil it? Yes, that's a pious person. And Maharaj Uttanapada is actually quite a pious king. But, as we'll find out tomorrow, he laments that he was too much influenced.
All this world wants to be happy because of the attachment with the body, soul is not happy. Like Sachidananda, the soul always wants to be happy.
Yes, Anando Maya Bhyasa, Prabhupada quotes the Vedic aphorism, that our main motivation is to be happy. Right? Otherwise, why do we do the things that we do? We don't do things just to make ourselves unhappy. Right? Why do you go to work?
Every happiness also leads to desire, and that's also cause of unhappiness.
From the material perspective, yes. Yeah. Yes. So we pursue material happiness, but we don't always get it. And even in the pursuit of material happiness, as you say, there is bound to be some suffering, because that's the nature of the material existence. Right? In the performance of bhakti, we perform our duty. My experience of that is doing the kitchen cleanup. I've meant this many times. Do the kitchen cleanup, 3 hours of hard work. Right? And you think, oh no, I don't want to do this. But you surrender to it and do it. And then at the end, 9 o'clock, start at 6, finish at 9. The kitchen's sparkling clean. And you're happy, right? In the rooms. Do you want to do it? No. But if you do it, the The reception is clean, the stairs are clean, the landing is clean, the bedrooms are all clean. And how do you feel? You've done it, Chaitanya Lila, haven't you? How do you feel after you've cleaned it? The Chincharupa's come along and said, you didn't do a good job here, get out of the way. Or the dynamic duo, Chincharupa and Rasanandini, they come in, get out of the way, you guys. And they clean everything. And then afterwards, they're exhausted, but they're happy. Huh? Or even we go out on Sankirtan, we're selling books, you know, and we meet 1,000 demons who don't want to buy a book. But we meet one person who buys a book, we go, oh, that's fantastic. We're happy. So the funny thing about devotional service is, not the funny thing, the reality is, even there may be difficulties. Now, let's face it. In the material world, there is always going to be a problem. There are always going to be difficulties. But when we perform our service for Krishna's pleasure, we don't care about the difficulties. In fact, we think, okay, that's ecstatic. So then the nature of devotional service is, even though there may be difficulties, we still do it and are happy. Whereas if you're a materialist and you work hard and you don't get what you want, like Maharaj Uttanapada,
Who is feeling happy there, the soul or the material body?
Material body, yeah. And so that's where, you know, the pursuit of happiness is actually wasted in material activities. Right? But if we render service to Krishna, and if we look at it from the perspective of our career, right, we'll be happy in our daily pursuits, and gradually we'll also be successful from the material point of view, right? We may not have anything, but at least the Krishna's assets and the influence of the Krishna consciousness movement, those things will be enhanced. Well, a devotee actually does acquire material benefits, right? May not necessarily be in his name. Just like this temple, we have so many people following and giving money and all of that. And over the years, we've seen, like, when Rasa and we joined in the 70s, right? Then, you know, if we got 100 people to a festival, that was like, wow, 100 people came. Right? The Sunday feast, we used to, with Korma, we'd cook a huge, big, lavish Sunday feast for 150 people. Right? Sometimes we'd cook stuffed puris for the Sunday feast. 150 people, right? A lot of effort. If we, you know, how long would it take to cook stuffed puris for the Sunday feast for 600 people now? That's how many people we get, right? So over time we can see that our so-called material acquisitions have increased. So as a devotee, our material efforts will be... or shall we say, our spiritual efforts will also be rewarded with material assets. But, of course, we know, I'm here today, tomorrow, where will I be? Right, so it's not really mine. But it's accrued for Krishna and on Krishna's behalf. So we do make material progress. But the real benefits for the devotee are in spiritual pursuits. Right? And if we're successful, we're happy. If we're not successful, we're happy. We'll do it again tomorrow. And Krishna recommend, what is it? Um, No, I've forgotten it. Jaya, jaya, labha, labho. What is it? Sukha, same. And sukha and dukkha. Kritva. Act dispassionately in happiness and distress. Jaya, jayo, in victory or defeat. Labha, labho, in gain or loss.
Summer and winter season, like he says in Bhagavad Gita Shloka, like sukha and dukha, and it's summer and winter, they have a sense of perception.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's why Krishna said, one of the main basic teachings in the Bhagavad Gita is be equipoised. One day you'll lose, one day you'll gain. Like a game of cricket. You know, the Australian cricket team was the best. Then the Indian cricket team was the best. The West Indies, you know, they were the killers in the 70s. Now they couldn't organise a run around the block. Right? So, yeah, you're victorious one day or one year, but then the next in a heap, caught playing with the ball, caught betting, whatever. Okay, let's finish. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Let's find out tomorrow.